sounds pretty good. What do you think?
She's from there.
He's from here.
Hanging together.
We make quite a pair.
She's left-handed.
He's right-handed.
Surely not to be disbanded. We are the Mighty Mounties. With Josh Odyssey.
And Michelle Christine.
Oh, great. Welcome. Welcome to episode 8.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe it.
8 is like the number of tentacles on an octopus.
The number of legs on a spider.
Yep.
What else?
Number of episodes that we've done.
That's true. So, okay, see, they say comedy happens in threes. And I've decided that I'm going to try to be, you know, a comedian on this podcast, right? Oh. It's my trade, so okay. Maybe I'll drop a funny quip here and there at points during this episode.
But before we start the episode, we were talking about something.
What were we talking about?
If he was going to come.
Oh, the cat. Okay, so... All right, I have a new love of my life, and it's his name is Zorro, and he's a beautiful, fluffy, wonderful cat that really enjoys being spanked, and like not like, you know, butt spanked, but like lower back spanked, I guess you should say. And I just tap on his little back because I realize some cats love it, and he goes crazy for it. And I think I've made myself a little bit of a fan who now, while we tape podcasts, likes to paw at the door and interrupt us a little bit.
But... Not only that, he goes crazy because he can get into the conservatory, which is next to this room.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's scratching at the thing. He's going crazy. He's like jumping up. He's trying to like get in through the conservatory.
And apparently this is atypical behavior. Like how long have you had this cat here?
Like 10 years.
10 years. So this cat's been alive here for 10 years and he's never behaved in such a way.
I don't know what this butt spank thing is or lower back spank tapping is.
Well, you've witnessed it now.
Yeah, but I don't know where it comes from.
It comes from, I don't know. I don't even know what made me start doing it to cats in the first place, but they just go crazy for it.
Yeah, well, hopefully he doesn't come again tonight.
Yeah, he said he didn't think the cat was going to come. And I said, well, the past two times we've done this podcast, at this time, the cat has come. So I said, maybe we should do it upstairs in one of the rooms. And then he's like, no, we should do it here. And I said, why? And he didn't really have a reason.
This is where we always do it.
Yes, I know it's where we always do it, but there's sometimes if there's an interruption.
We can't let him win.
We are letting him win, though. You get mad distracted, and then you abandon me, and then I have to hold the phone by myself.
He needs his biscuits.
No, we've already given him biscuits.
Oh, okay. All right, well, heading on in.
Yeah.
We're going to do...
I like the name of this episode.
Well, yeah, it's a magical name. Because it's basically relating to... the world that we live in terms of media and social media crossing over and it all going crazy.
Yeah, it's like have we all gone crazy? That's, I think, what the title's going to be. Have we all gone crazy?
Or mad.
Yeah, we could say mad.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think mad's fine. I think one of the first topics that we can discuss, I mean, we can go deep or we can go, actually, you know, let's go a little bit mid-range. We'll go mid-range, okay? We'll talk a bit about Ben Affleck, I think, is a nice mid-entry point. Now, he just went to rehab. And so he's trying to, you know, get over maybe alcohol/drug abuse and how the society, how media has decided to treat him after, you know, he's a father of three, you know, ex-wife took him to rehab, is they've decided the best strategy would be to follow him mercilessly and take pictures of him picking up his kids from school, going on dates, going to pick up fast food. And I just think that's such a cruel thing to do as a society to a person that's just trying to, you know, heal themselves. And, you know, our reaction to him trying to better his life is to follow him mercilessly and sell photos of him and his family on the internet. That's what we've decided is a good thing.
Yeah, and it's meant to be Alcoholics Anonymous, not Alcoholics Non-Anonymous. It's hard to say, even.
It is, yeah, you do have difficulty. I like that you said that you thought your tongue was fatter than other people's tongues, because he stuck his tongue out to me once. And I was like, everyone can make their tongue wide if they... And it'll stick it out and make it wide, but then you can stick it thin and make it thin. And so now I feel like I made you feel like more of a someone that fit in more in the tongue society.
I thought I had a fat tongue until this week.
Yeah.
And I realized, no, I choose what kind of tongue I have.
Yeah.
I've just been fat tonguing. Right?
Yeah, you just got to thin it up when it's inside your mouth. Anyway.
Okay, well.
But I think that is disturbing. I think we have a really unhealthy relationship with, like, celebrity right now. an incredibly unhealthy relationship. People are absolutely obsessed with people that are on TV or that are, you know, and some people want that, you know, some people want to be social influencers, but I think you have to, like, why don't we leave people alone when they're trying to heal? That's what I don't like.
I think it's the other way. I think what's happening is people, lives are very relaxed. They want some things to, entertain them when they're relaxing. And so this sensationalist stuff comes through, and the guys that aren't letting them relax are the paparazzi. And we have that here really terribly in the UK. We have some of the fiercest paparazzi out there, paps, you know. And then they'll share this stuff, and people are just being very, they're not resisting it. They're just lapping it up, but in a very passive way. They're not hungry for it per se, but because it's there. It's kind of like maybe why there's an obesity crisis now, because all the good food is just more available in America. And then people are like, yeah, I just feel like having three burgers a day instead of one. I don't know. Is that...
Well, I think that, I mean, it's coming out because people are hungry for it. There's no doubt about that. If no one clicked on the link of Ben Affleck, you know, picking up his kids after getting out of rehab, then the paparazzi couldn't sell it for anything. So it is a matter of public demand being there.
I'm just saying that no one is going, I want to know what Ben Affleck's doing right now. It's just being packaged up as something which is a break from my mundanity of having to do work or do a job, or, you know, I'm a bit bored now. And what's Batman up to, you know? And then they're clicking. And so they're making money off of him. And I think maybe we should have some laws that stop this kind of thing.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to say. I was literally going to say there needs to be laws against that. I do not think if a person is picking up their children from school, you should legally be allowed to sell a picture of that. These people are under 18. They're not famous. Yeah. They're just leaving school. How is that something that's legally allowed? I don't understand it. So just as you wouldn't be allowed to take a picture of someone's kids in their home, you know, I know the whole, like, it's like a private property versus public property. I don't think that that should be what the law is. I think that a person, if their image is going to be used to sell something, you have to have their permission. How difficult is that?
Yeah. So I'm Facebook friends with a top property guy here in the UK, and he was always sharing about his son, who he's been guiding through golfing. Mm-hmm. And his son was, like, all the way up until five, he was sharing, like, I guess he started doing it when he was three, but he started competing when he was four, and now he's five, or he was five when he brought this discussion on Facebook about whether he should continue sharing, because he was competing with some 10-year-olds even and beating them at five, and that's amazing, like, phenomenal. But it's like, I think there's certain age when, even as parents, sharing with other people that aren't famous particularly, you need to retract from sharing your kid. Like, when they're a baby, you can't really identify them, right? And then when they come to a certain age, you need to stop, like four or five, you kind of stop. And then when they get to a certain age of maturity, where they can make the decision for themselves about whether they want to be on social media, whether you think they are mature enough to make the decision, then they can come back in. But this whole thing about the paparazzi and stuff, that's completely different. That's just, like, on a whole other level of... And that should definitely be illegal.
I think so, too. That's one thing. We have gone mad if...
Madness, I tell you.
Yeah. And, like... One of the reasons that I've always been a bit nervous, because I'm a bit out in the entertainment industry, is that your sense of, you don't have any privacy anymore. And a lot of people use the excuse of, oh, but if you're making millions of dollars, then you shouldn't, then you lose the right to privacy. And I don't agree with that in any way. I don't think money replaces one's need to have respect when picking up their children from school. I don't think money should come into the equation in any way, shape, or form. So I just don't think it's a valid... Oh, well, Ben Affleck is rich. So when, you know, he's going through a crisis, then we should totally be able to just see him picking up some fast food with his newest girlfriend. I mean, that's very insensitive to his wife, and it's very insensitive to his children. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's out of order. Paps needs, like... They need restricting. I don't think anybody in the public that's not a pap or related to the industry would be against these paps being curtailed a lot more, because you think you have it bad in America. Here in the UK, they're just bred around getting that photo, and I think that's, you know, spread out into other areas of the Western world. But they were just, you know, that piranha going for blood.
And they'll even take pictures of people, like, topless. There's been scandals of that publishing. Oh, yeah. Like, what, you're not even... This person is just in their private vacation, tanning, you know, doesn't want some of the lines or whatever. And, like, how are... I don't understand how it's legal. I just don't. Like, it's unbelievable. But anyway, that's just me. I don't know if you want to move on to a different topic, but that kind of boils my blood.
Let's talk about Chris Pratt's wife.
Okay.
No. What's going on there in terms of, you know, we talk about the social media crossover, but she's been sharing some images of herself on social media, and then people just being massive dicks.
Yeah, so...
I think she looks fine, by the way.
I'm really thin. I don't know if I'm as thin as Anna Faris, but and Josh is thin as well. And so I'm used to having what some people would refer to as a thigh gap, quote unquote. So this is funny because he checked to see if I was being honest. Huh? It's there.
I can't really see it.
What are you talking about?
I don't know.
Do you even know what a thigh gap is?
Is it between your thighs?
Yeah.
Okay. Well. Isn't that just when you spread your legs?
No. Basically, a thigh gap is if you put your feet together, which I'm doing right now, on the ground, and you follow the line, there's a gap all the way up to here. Do you understand?
Okay, brilliant, thank you. Thank you for demonstrating. Why do you look so disgusted? No, I mean, it's just a bit weird. I mean, why do people care about this so much?
Why do people care? Are you kidding me? People are obsessed with weight.
What?
That is the crazy...
No, but why are they obsessed with this thigh gap thing?
It is a thing. While we're talking, I'm going to be looking up a hashtag on Instagram. Just why do people care about this? Because we've all gone mad. That's why.
The world's gone mad.
The world. Yeah. So anyway, so Anna Faris puts up a thigh gap. Here we go.
Oh, well, I've already seen one already. I think that's enough for a lifetime.
Get support? I don't...
Do you need support?
No, but how do I make sure... Okay. I hope it'll still... But it won't let me...
See post anyway.
See post anyway. Okay, good. So, yes, there is a... there's a lot of shaming that comes from posting things on social media, body shaming. And Anna Faris just posted this thing about how she was about to go on like a TV show, and she hadn't put on her underwear yet or her pants yet. So she was just kind of in her undies and a shirt and everything. And
yeah, pants in America means trousers. So she did have underwear on.
She had underwear on,
because we call that pants over here.
You call underwear pants?
Yeah.
No way.
It's confusing.
No way.
Yeah.
Panties or pants. Just pants?
Both. These are trousers.
So, okay. Well, she was wearing...
Underwear.
Underwear. Yeah. Or slash pants, but not... she wasn't wearing trousers or long pants. Anyway, whatever.
Whoa. That's a bit weird. Long pants? What?
Well, I don't know. Anyway, so long story short, she's wearing underwear only and a top. And yes, she looks a bit skinny, but she is skinny. And she got body shamed by a bunch of trolls. So she only had the post up for 15 minutes before she took it down. And
it's not even half an hour.
Yeah, it's not even...
I was just kidding, sorry.
And Chris Pratt, her former husband, was even defending her against the trolls. And I think that, well...
Which is what he does as a superhero, so that's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Not his wife, but...
Yeah.
Whatever.
So I just think that people have... I think the anonymity of the internet has made a society of some really, like, cruel people. I think it's... You would say... You would not... People are just... behind the curtain, right? So what they will say about other people publicly on the internet under that curtain or behind that curtain, oh man, I don't know how famous people have any sort of sanity.
Well, one thing that I didn't really want to darken this podcast with, but we've been talking about a lot, is the number of amazing individuals that end up just committing suicide who are famous. Chester Bennington, noteworthy. Chester Bennington performed at another singer's funeral, which happened, which that guy had committed suicide as well. And it's just absolutely crazy, the cycle that's being permeating. And yeah, there's all these other people that people might think a lot worse in political aspects or business aspects or other aspects. So you don't really hear about the rate of suicide as much.
We did talk about this a couple of days ago. We kind of surmised that maybe in politics, you know, people are attracted to power, and them making it in politics is them getting after that power, and then that kind of fulfills them. And like, why would they want to then say kill themselves when they're always just trying to push for power, and that's what's fueling them? So they are actively getting what they want. Whereas I think a lot of times when people move into like creative fields, they're looking for feedback and they're looking for attention and they're looking for fulfillment from that. And then I think if maybe they're having struggles with their relationships or struggles in their artistic events, it cuts deeper. And I think that it's easier, and the pressure that they feel, like I feel like sometimes politicians like thrive in that pressure situation, especially when the ones that get so high. I mean, they've had to just navigate these high pressure waters for so long, whereas creative people, I find that almost like the pressures like mount as you get more and more famous. One, because of you're in the public eye. Two, people feel more likely to, like politicians, it's tough because, I mean, now with, I didn't want to mention it that much, but with the Supreme Court nominations and stuff, the guy is having his past dredged up and things like that. But that was kind of more common practice, I think, in stars before politics has become. Politics is kind of starting to cross over a bit to celebrity now.
Well, that's why I wanted to bring it up. Because I think it's different when you're a politician or business person. You're like, as a politician, you're just basically, you're always arguing whenever you're going in against an opposition.
Yeah.
You know, so that's kind of the usual foray that you're preparing yourself on, and you can put your gilded suit on as your armor, and then as a business person, that's challenge all day. So you are very right in saying that someone that's used to the warm, nurturing glow of their fans and their audience, and having that feeling like they're having that turned on them, even though, you know, the hardcore fan's always going to be there. But I always remember in this context with Chris Pratt and his wife, Anna Faris, they were just such a great couple, and I had a huge love for them amongst the fan group, you know? And I guess it's tough when that's gone away.
Yeah, I think it's funny, like, when you see kind of comment threads after big celebrity couples that were fan favorites divorce, because it does make it's hard because I believe in love in a lot of ways, but I'm also realistic to the fact that it can fade. It can fade even in the strongest looking couples, or like the most in love looking couples. And they did look like in interviews when they were having a shot, they took a shot on like the red carpet, and then like, oh yeah, that's tequila or whatever. Like both of them had just like funny reactions. They just had a great chemistry, like a comedy chemistry as a couple, which I loved to watch. Amy Poehler and Will Arnett were also a really fun couple, and then they had two young kids together, and then they got divorced as well, and it does make you think, oh no, like if they couldn't make it and they seemed like just this fairy tale couple, but oh man, so much goes on behind closed doors, you know.
Well, yes, indeed, and we don't know as much as we get to share or be told about their lives through these links. We don't know. We're still never going to know. We're never going to know. So people, it's not like people are going to stop. People just need to not be given that choice. Because if you have an option of chalky fingers or not chalky fingers, you're going to have some chalky fingers, aren't you? Well, you are. I'm not. I'm really good. People have been following. I have not had a single chocolate finger. If you followed from the last episode, I have been going a little bit of a chocolate fast. Not having any chocolate apart from my birthday, but that was only because someone else brought me a chocolate cake. Thank you. And then I also had some chocolate fingers, which were intended for my birthday, but I decided no. A chocolate cake, half a chocolate cake is enough. No, I didn't have it all in one go. Don't jump at me. Okay?
It was a small chocolate
cake. And then someone came to me yesterday and said, hey, how about you open those chocolate fingers that you got for your birthday? I haven't had one. Because I'm on a chocolate fast.
But he does tease me quite a bit. So I did suck all the chocolate off of
one. Oh, come on. Don't bring it up.
Yeah, because, yeah, well, you know.
You make me want the chocolate again.
Well, if you fight with fire, you're going to get burnt, let me tell you.
Well, I'm very good in the kitchen.
But I think bringing it back to...
I'm just saying, when there's something that is desirable and it's easy to have and it's accessible, people want to have it. But it doesn't mean that it's good for them or even that they want to do that. It's just because of the easy access. Like I've told you to hide the chocolate fingers, right? You can have chocolate fingers, just don't, you know, try not to suck them in front of me.
Yeah,
because it makes it easy access and more desirable. And that's what these people are doing with this sensationalism. And we don't really know what's going on with these people.
And one of the things that other people, like members of the public, have done is I think because of like the titles of things being so sensationalized that when they're like comments are getting that way too. Like people want feedback and trolls want feedback. So if they're saying things to Anna Faris in a troll way, they get the kicks out of when that comment is then put in the headline. So I think part of the reason some of these comments are getting more and more visceral and intense and crazy is just the trolls just want feedback. And they're just like, I know if I say this about this person's baby or, you know, Anna Faris being too thin or whatever, I'm going to be in a headline somewhere because that's exactly the types of things that are being put there. You'll see a title and then you read an article and the two barely relate to each other, you know? And so, yeah, have we all gone mad?
Have we all gone mad? Because... don't feed the trolls. Mute them, block them, move on. That's the line. A lot of people kind of, just any normal people on Twitter, they always kind of struggle with, oh, this person said something. Mute, block, move on.
Yeah.
That's the line. Okay? If we just did that in life, maybe we wouldn't have so much of this going on. But people find it tricky.
Well, it's called clapback. And you see that in the media.
Isn't that a STI?
No.
Oh, okay, sorry.
It'd be like, Kim K clapped back at troll.
Yeah, it sounds or like an STI. Chrissy Teigen clapped back. Is it not? Okay.
At troll. And so I find that, you know, the celebrities are getting, you know, extra media coverage for clapping back. Yeah. So that's...
be careful you don't get virus either, guys. You know, use antivirus.
Use antivirus. Norton's, maybe.
Oh, well, I don't know about that.
McAfee's.
That uses too much of your drive. Yeah, CPU.
Space.
There's some good stuff out there. You're going to find out soon anyway, because you're going to be around tech wizards soon. So
yeah, I know.
Bit of a hint now.
Yeah, that's true. It's foreshadowing. It's so funny. So someone posted this thing being like, hey, I do a tech podcast and we're looking for another host. Is anyone interested? And then I sent a message being like, hey, full disclosure, I don't know a lot about tech. Like, that's how I started. I don't know a lot about tech, but, you know, I'm a comedian. I've done a few podcasts and, like, here's my website. I think I'm a fun personality and I like used to live stream on Twitch and play video games and stuff. So it's not like I'm at 0%, but they're like, yeah, you're exactly what we're looking for. So I was like, sweet. So who knows? Maybe I'll learn more about tech as I do the podcast. And then one day I will seem like I fit right in.
Yeah. If a good antivirus, low CPU wants to.
Yeah. That's what I'll get involved.
Then we can mention them.
Yeah.
But otherwise we don't really know. We just use, you know, what our tech people tell us.
That's right.
Good. Okay, cool. So,
I was going to say though is that we did like them as a couple.
Oh, we're talking about Chris Pratt and Anna Faris.
And what was cool about Chris is he did defend Anna against the trolls.
Oh yeah, he's a great guy. They're a great guy. They're great people. He seems like a lovely guy. Yeah. Everyone seems to know that. Like, he's always great on every interview.
Mm-hmm.
And he's obviously had this great relationship with her, and he's going to come in and he's going to defend. And I think if there's more of that as well, it's a great example of what you should be as a man. And I think Chris is a great example of what it is to be a man from what I've seen.
Yeah, they seem to have an amicable breakup, which is great, because a lot of these breakups in Hollywood end up being just absolutely bonkers. And with Ben and his wife as well, his ex-wife or soon-to-be ex-wife, she also was the one that took him to rehab, and it seems like they really care about co-parenting and things like that. So not every you know, divorce that ends that maybe makes us heartbroken as people being like, oh no, these couples that look so amazing. Well, yeah, but a lot of those amazing couples are also having very amicable divorces. So maybe it's, you know, the fire fizzled out, but the honor and respect is still there.
Okay, brilliant. So we're going to move away from the public eye, and then see if the more normal people have it.
Well, we're not really moving away from eyes.
Oh, but it's less celebrity and more. And what everybody else is doing.
And more a real person's eye. Happened?
Oh, dear, that is a... Oh, my word. Poor transition, but...
Yeah, no, I thought that was a great transition.
When you hear it, it's just outrageous.
I'm more of the positive one, so I think it's a great transition.
Oh, my God.
He's more of the pessimist one.
Trying to distance myself right now.
So he thinks... You're the one with the cold. I should be trying to distance myself
from you. It's an allergy. It's the cat. The cat's not allowed in here. He's patting all his fur around.
You're literally getting a crease on your nose from how much you're blowing it.
How dare ye?
No, that's not trying to be mean. It's just a fact of life.
Oh, okay. Well, I should probably Hoover in here.
What does that mean, Hoover?
Like a vacuum or I should Dyson in here.
Oh, no. I mean, Hoover I get. I just thought it was like a weird British term for something that didn't mean vacuum.
I know.
Yeah, no, I mean, I should have known that. I know what we're back.
So we're doing the golf ball.
Yes, we are. So there's this woman, and it came out that she was at the Ryder Cup. You know, it was in France this year. And she was just watching it, and bam, a golf ball hits her square in the eye and basically, like, explodes her eye. So she's on the ground. Her eye's been exploded by this golf ball, and she said all anyone was doing was taking videos and pictures, and not a single person called for help. And, like...
Insane.
Are we going mad?
That's pretty insane. I don't think that would happen, you know, 30 years ago, 20 years ago.
Definitely not. But our phones were definitely not what they are now that long ago either.
Yeah, I mean, we all got to be paparazzi for that kind of people are trying to capture the canned camera kind of pranks or not pranks, but like what are they called?
Well, there's this thing called Fail Army.
That's right.
It's this, and I'm guilty of it. I'm for sure guilty of it. Like, I'm saying, have we all gone mad? I'm including myself. Because I love these Fail Armies. And you just put it on, and people are just, like, getting devastated. They're tripping. They're falling.
Some people love watching people fall over. I don't find it that funny. But some people love it. Like, it's the funniest thing ever. And it's apparently it's to do with, it's meant to be a very... A very easy process, the automotive process of walking, but when you can't do it, and it's a surprise, that's funny to humans.
Well, some people say it's like when you're uncomfortable, your body doesn't know what else to do but laugh sometimes. Like, your body's like, oh, this uncomfortable thing's happening, what are you going to do? Oh, default, laugh, easy. So I've heard that that's kind of like, it's just like a reaction to your...
That could explain a lot of people's comedy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so this poor woman gets her eyeball exploded at the Ryder Cup, and all everyone wants to do is make it into a viral video. And I feel bad, but at the same time, like, there's...
She didn't die, did she?
No, she didn't die, but her eye is gone.
Oh, God, that's awful.
It is.
That's terrible.
It is terrible. And there was another guy that said he got... Sam, what are you laughing? I'm terrible, but it's because I'm uncomfortable.
You see?
Not because I think it's actually
because we care.
It is because I care. And he said he got intentionally driven over by a 4x4. And then, yeah, all anyone wanted to do was take pictures and take videos. So just be...
There is an insane video of a guy just being backed into when he's in the mechanical shop. And it's insane that he's just standing there. He doesn't expect the car to keep coming back because who would?
Yeah.
And then the car keeps coming back. And his reaction is, it's insane. Like, I'm talking about it now and kind of like encouraging people to watch it, but...
Yeah, and you're also smiling ear to
ear. No, no, I'm not. I was not.
You were too.
I was not.
Why do you think I said
I was not.
Okay, well,
I was just looking at your reaction.
Well, you can let the jury decide but on
like,
that one.
It's a weird thing because at the end of the day, if these people recover, the woman with the eye is terrible.
Yeah.
But... If the guy with the 4x4 and this other guy in the mechanical shop, if they're fine, I'm sure they would want people to get some benefit out of that because they experienced it and they had to go through the process of recovering and all of that. Mm. Might as well someone get something from it.
I mean, that's a looking at a silver lining way, which is nice. But I think if something were to happen to me, I guess just always be aware of this now. If something happens to you that's pretty outrageous, but maybe some people might find funny, just also yell out, please also call for help. Put down your camera or something. Like, maybe you just have to verbalize it. Maybe people just need to be, like, reminded of the fact that they're not watching a Fail Army video. It's happening real time. And just someone get some help.
They could do 2-in-1 on their phone. They could WhatsApp the ER to show them.
WhatsApp the ER. Well...
So they get to record the video as well, and then and say, hey, look, this is going on. I've never heard what we should do. But I'm saying, how about it's a positive trend. We can have a positive trend. Instead of just having people gawking and trying to capture stuff for YouTube, do two in one. Let's capture it, send it to the people. It's like, is this funny, or is this something that we should be addressing?
Well, when you figure out where the directory of phone numbers for hospitals so that people can WhatsApp, just like we'll have to have a link somewhere. Because
people need an outlet for both of their sensations. We got mad. The world's got mad, right?
We need
like something for their sensationalism and also potentially helping someone.
And back on the photo theme, this kind of jumps into the next one.
That should be an option. I really do.
A recent headline said 250 people have died from taking selfies. And what was your first response to that?
A year.
I don't know if it was a year. Maybe it's to date. Who knows?
Oh, okay. It's not a lot, is it?
Yeah, that's what you said the first time.
But I mean, there's
it isn't.
It's over 7 billion people in the world.
Yeah.
So
it's not a lot.
I didn't want to shrug it off. I'm just saying, like, you know what? Some of these idiots, they went too far. Or maybe they weren't even idiots. Maybe they were just in really precarious scenarios. You don't really know.
Yeah.
But yeah, selfie taking shouldn't be that dangerous. And relatively, it isn't. But
have you ever like tripped reading your phone while walking or anything like that?
No, but I like to run with my phone. So I haven't tripped. No.
Yeah.
I like to do a story as I'm running.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen that.
I have.
Yeah. So if I can do that, I'm a bit of an idiot sometimes in some aspects of like motor neural stuff.
Hmm.
So, you know, I'm okay. But yeah, I literally, there was one time when we were in America and my friend was literally going to walk straight into a sheer drop basement, you know, because we're just outside a pub and he would have walked straight into it. And I literally was like, oh, I pulled him to a side, saved his life.
Yeah.
And then he didn't even thank me. He was like, yeah, whatever. He would have just gone straight in. It was really deep. Like, it was fucking crazy deep.
But was he drunk? Like, was there a reason?
No. We were just walking in the day.
Oh.
And, like, he's super smart.
Well, so you wanted to thank you?
Well, I saved his life. Or at least, like, prevented him from bodily harm. I just didn't want to go to the A&E.
Mm.
But, yeah, you know. I also wanted to look after him. But then
I think ER is the North American term for that.
Yeah, we call it accident emergency.
Yeah, A&E, yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah, so, you know, would he have preferred me to capture it on camera? I don't know.
Well, that's what people would have done these days.
Well, yeah.
And it's funny, I'm flipping back and forth between, like, left side of the road, people driving, right side of the road, people driving, and especially from being in the UK and Europe recently, so it's been flipping. And we were coming back from the grocery store, and I looked, I always am looking like both ways, like twice, but like I kind of looked one way, and then like I was about to cross, but then I looked right, and I did miss.
I had been telling her all the time, like, look, watch out for there, watch out for there. And she'd made a comment before, like, sometimes you can be a bit too paternal,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I'm like, all right, she's an adult. She's cool. And I was thinking in my head, this car could hit Michelle now. But I'm sure it's not. She's an adult. And I was like, I was going to call out. And I said, you know what? Maybe get the phone out. I don't know. No, I just don't know. And the car had to pull up and say, watch yourself. You know? Some weirdo guys were in there. And I was like, oh, move on, mate. Move on. She's learning.
Oh my god. But yeah, that was the nearest miss I've had in a while. But like, I did look and I did come back. Like, even if the car hadn't slowed down, I think I just freaked him out more than anything. And clearly Josh. But yeah.
I was freaked out before he did it. And I was saying, you know what? I'm not going to be too fatherly here. Jesus.
Jesus Christ.
How does this woman drive on a bike?
Ride.
Mm-hmm. On a bike. Yeah. All the way around
Europe, Canada.
Canada, Europe.
America. Canada.
Mexico, I like to call it, but yeah, Canada.
Yeah.
And then doesn't know about the road safety laws in the country.
Well, no, I do know about the road safety laws. I did step back, and the guy didn't hit me. But well,
why did you slow down? I'm like, watch yourself.
Well, I know. I did freak him out. I mean, if I had taken another step, I probably would have gotten hit by the car. No, I think he would have had enough time to slam on his brakes, potentially. Oops. Okay, so I don't even know what we were talking about. We were talking about selfies.
We're talking about the world's gone mad.
Yeah, the world has gone mad.
And people nearly dying because the world's going mad. It sounds like it could happen any day.
We are quite fragile.
We're taking risks every day. People don't realize. So if you don't take a risk on the things that you know might give you good return, it's the biggest risk you can take of all. Because we're taking risks every day, okay, people? Yeah. That's just a little side announcement. Okay. Should we move to the next one? Or?
Sure.
Okay. This one's called Tongue Tied.
Ah, yes. Okay. So I find that in the news a lot, there's a lot of like, you know, sensationalism, as we were talking about before, a lot of talk about bullying or about, you know, politicians being a-holes or, you know, just like a horrible tsunami or hurricane. But there's not a lot of feel-good news. Not a lot of feel-good news. And this is a feel-good news thing. A kid who was having trouble communicating. His mom just thought he had a learning disability. He went to a routine dental appointment, and the dentist actually discovered that his tongue was tied, was able to fix it, and he was able to communicate normally. And that's actually a feel-good story.
See, he must have thought he had a really thin tongue. Because I thought I had a fat tongue, and he must have thought he had a thin tongue.
I just can't imagine. Like, most of the time when you have something wrong with you, it's not like an easy fix. It's like, okay, having trouble with speech, you know, maybe it's a stutter, and then you have to go through a lot of, you know, speech therapy and whatnot. Or maybe you have, a limp because, you know, you have a problem with your back or your legs or your hip or whatever. But it's very rare that you have something that's been a debilitating, like it's been part of your life for 6 years, and one simple solution fixes everything instantaneously.
What I love about it is, he hadn't spoken at all, like, or been able to speak because of the tongue. And then when they untied it, he could just speak like a six-year-old.
Yeah.
And it was like, yeah, he could understand everything. Yeah. He just couldn't say it. He was just like, my tongue will talk.
That's true. That's true. His mom's just being like, oh, it's such a shame that my son has this learning disability, and who knows how much of what we're saying right now he can even understand.
I can't understand everything.
That's so true. And then after he's going to be like, Jesus, Mom. Like, he's going to say Jesus just from his pent-up frustration, right?
Or they're very religious. Thank the Lord.
Yeah. And, so he'll just, yeah, that is what's wild about that. It's just like he probably had to go through all of this, like, training and
kindergarten
and therapy and, yeah.
And all the other kids, like, oh, he's mute. Don't talk to him.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't hear you.
Yeah. He could speak a little bit, I think, but just, like, with maximum difficulty.
Yeah, but they didn't understand the extent to his comprehension and understanding, so he could actually use his full tongue.
Yeah.
See, not enough education has been given about the tongue, I feel. Like, I didn't know about my tongue. I thought I had a fat tongue.
But can you touch your nose with your tongue?
That's disgusting. Why would you do that?
Oh, my God, he uses the word disgusting all the time. Like, everything is disgusting.
Hey, Dad.
I can roll it, yeah.
Right, don't lick your nose. Okay.
I'm not licking my nose. I didn't even come close to licking my nose. Okay. My sister can touch her nose with her tongue, though.
Okay, yes.
So that's why.
Unnecessary.
Yeah, Josh is really weirded out by tongues, which is weird because guys usually like tongues.
No, but you sent me you sticking at a tongue and said, oh, it's my caterpillar. And that freaked me out.
No, I didn't. You said it's a worm.
Yeah, and then you said it was a caterpillar, didn't you?
I think I sent a caterpillar emoji.
Oh, well. Okay, cool.
Well, let's move on.
Okay, let's move on from the wormy worm world of sensationalism.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, this one's really upbeat, and maybe the world's gone mad, but in a good way.
Yeah. So this one, I think, is actually quite good, and there's a mad part about it, which I can, like, link into after. But so Australia is going to be one of the first countries to very much limit cervical cancer existing.
Brilliant.
Yeah, which is brilliant because they have this, they've been vaccinating their boys and girls. It started with mainly girls, now it's boys and girls across the country for a virus that is very likely to cause cervical cancer. Oh. And what was interesting about that is, like, the anti-vax movement, this is where I'm going to tie it into, is like, here is a country that's literally about to almost eradicate cervical cancer, which is a cancer that can, you know, cause a lot of young women to die in their 20s and 30s. And so it's going to be virtually eradicated because of a vaccine. And then there's people around the world that are actively not vaccinating their children against things that were so deadly that back when those diseases were around and vaccines first came out, there'd be people lining up across the blocks just to make sure that they and their children were vaccinated. And I think sometimes because you aren't exposed to these things, the world can go mad and one crazy doctor can create a document saying that it causes autism. And then suddenly, you know, 10 to 20% of the population aren't vaccinating their kids, if not more.
Yeah. And I think what's mad about our culture now is this is a real hot topic, very sensationalist topic about vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really know anything about it, you know. I know that, like, if I got a kid, probably going to risk it. And like Jim Jefferies said, his missus didn't want them to vaccinate his kid. And so he was looking after the kid one day, and he was just like, booked him with the doctor, rushed him off, and had it done. And he was like, oh, please don't get autism now, mate. Please don't get autism. And that's, you know, Jim's going to make that joke. It's great. But if someone else says something like, I think you've got to take the risk, you know, for long-term, like life, or you could get just a disease that most people don't get anymore and die.
I'm so glad I'm vaccinated. I'm super glad.
So am I.
Yeah, like I don't want whooping cough or, you know, and like when I used to volunteer at the Hospital for Sick Children in Toronto, and you had to have all your vaccinations or you wouldn't be able to go in there and volunteer, because there's some people that have immune systems. This is the thing. There's some people that have immune systems that are so depleted that they can't actually have vaccines for certain things because it's just medically unhealthy for them. And when you don't vaccinate your kids, then you make these diseases more common to have happen, and then they can get to the kids that the only reason they didn't get vaccinated was because they have a medical reason not to. And so it's just very short-sighted and selfish, and you have to think about the fact that if your kid gets one of these things like measles are, keeps popping up now in Europe and all across the world, getting measles, the drawbacks to it or the consequences of it are usually 5 times or 100 times more severe than any sort of small percentage chance they have a reaction to a vaccine.
It reminds me of that Stephen King book.
Which one?
On writing. When he talks about all of the terrible diseases and shit that he had as a kid. He had a tough time of it.
He did.
But he learned how to sit still and write. Mm. And that was beneficial, I guess. It worked out all right for him.
And I guess this isn't terribly sensational, but I will mention that because we've both been writing a bit today. And what I find kind of interesting is that, like, it's weird or kind of interesting when you have, like, a knack to do something. Like, Josh is a very talented writer, and he does.
No, come on. No.
Why can't I say that?
I don't write. I'm writing at the moment, but I've got a long way to go.
Yeah.
Compared to these legends.
No. I'm not trying to compare you to Stephen King. But...
Well, you can if you want.
But I do some, you know, journalism, some like motorcycle journalism. But what I find sometimes difficult is finding the ability to sit down in front of a computer screen and write for hours and hours on end, because sometimes it's great that Stephen King discovered that ability of being able to amuse himself sitting down.
I think he wrote Carrie in a week or something. No, not Carrie. Like one of his top books in a week, because, or maybe 2 weeks, because that's all the time he had off when he was teaching.
Mm.
That's amazing.
And then he got hit by a car.
Oh my God, it's so brutal.
Yeah.
He talks about that, and like half his body is twisted in the road, and it was just some trucker that knocked him over. Because he liked to walk up this, he's got like a lot of hills in his area. Like it's kind of, very suburban, I guess.
Mm.
And this truck just didn't see him because it was like kind of a sheer view. But then it bocked him, and then he's on the floor and he's looking around, and oh gosh. Gosh, poor guy.
Yeah, the world's gone mad.
I really feel for him, because like the way he describes it and the way he's conveyed that, like, I'm not thinking of all the money doesn't matter. Your torso is turned on its, like, your legs are facing straight, and then your torso is turned to the side as a result of this being hit.
Did the person stop, or did they drive away?
Yeah, and then he said he took ages to phone someone. He was a bit of an S head.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So, you know, a bit rude.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, beyond rude.
Yeah. Okay, so that's... do we have any other things that we want to talk about in terms of sensationalism?
Well, I just want to talk, like, a little bit about how maybe people can live a better life.
Yeah.
Because I think the digital... People coming to digital world, there's no guidelines. There's no guidelines.
That's true.
There's only what you can and what you can't get away with on Reddit, right? or Twitter or whatever it is. And that's not a guideline. What is the guideline for people that are sending you messages that you don't want? Mute, block, get rid of, yeah. But most people aren't doing that. And so that needs to be shared. Because if you're a youngster, you know the most popular social media, I've told you already, amongst 15-year-olds in America. Do you know which one it is? Is it Instagram? Is it Facebook? Snapchat, maybe? Youngsters? What do you think?
And YouTube.
YouTube, yeah. That's not really a social media platform, but yeah, you know, people watch it. So within, when they're at school, this is what they're using. Maybe outside, they're using the other ones.
Well, I know youngsters used to use Snapchat a lot, but then yeah. I don't know if they're using Instagram they're using now. Or...
They're using Twitter.
Twitter.
That's insane. I mean, that was a year ago that they said that, so maybe it's changed. But I was surprised. And if these youngsters, I mean, I know adults that are struggling with trolls.
Mm.
What are the youngsters going to feel? You know, this whole cyberbullying is clearly, it's a reality, not just for kids, but for adults and celebrities.
Yeah.
This is what we've been discussing this whole time.
Yeah.
And we need to set down foundations. We need to set down the right boundaries for weirdos, I guess.
Well, is that something that people should teach and, like, should that be something taught in school? I don't know. It's been so long since
It should be shared everywhere.
Mm.
The problem is, like, it should be taught in school because, and I think we had our education podcast, check that out.
Yeah, that's true. Our
thoughts around in around that.
Which was episode 7?
I think so. Yeah. No, it wasn't the last podcast. There's one before that. Okay. Episode 6.
Okay, wow.
Education, yeah. Yeah, it's a good one.
Good job.
Check that one. A bit juicy, yeah. No, but what we're saying is, like, a lot of parents leave it to education because they're so busy working.
Mm.
They're having to work so many hours, they're exhausted, they get back. And then little Johnny's like, and then they don't even know. Oh, what should I do on Instagram, mummy? Or do you know Twitch? What's Twitch? I don't know what Twitch is if I'm a parent and to a 10-year-old.
Mm.
I don't know what Twitch is.
Yeah, I remember once I got a bit of cyberbullying, very, very mild scale thing. And
I'm sorry.
No, shit happens. And I remember actually the person that knew the people that were doing it actually like apologized on their behalf
few
years later. Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool too, because it's not common that happens. But I think it is it's a very difficult subject, especially for, when I was 18, when Facebook really came and hit big, I was in university. Back then you had to have a university website or email or whatever it was called. Yeah. And I remember being like, this is going to be huge when it goes public. I'm going to buy some of their shares. Like, that was literally my first thought is when Facebook comes out, I want to buy all of their shares.
Smart.
Yeah.
Good.
I do own some Facebook shares now.
Very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, people are curious about people, and Mark Zuckerberg knew how to do it right. People don't want to go to your website and have music blaring at them. Yeah, that was MySpace. So he knew there was an opportunity in the marketplace, and he just kept going with what people wanted, and that's great. And but now, can you imagine growing up as a kid with social media? I you know, you're a pimply weirdo. Well, I was when I was growing up as a kid. You know, and not everyone changed. Not everyone called me that, by the way. Okay, I wasn't. Too much, but you know, I had braces. Yeah, you had braces.
I did have braces.
And imagine having that just shared, and like, you know how kids are.
Mm.
Everyone's got a phone. I walked past the other day, and the 7-year-old's got a phone. Why have you got that? Is that your mum's? No, it's mine. It's better than my phone. I was like, do you want to trade? But then the mum came. No, I made that bit up. I would never do that.
Didn't one time you say you were like eating some chocolate pretty excitedly on a train, and then you saw
oh my god, yeah,
a video of you, and
it's outrageous. You know, my chocolate time back in the day when I was eating chocolate and got to a bit of an obsession. I was having a good. I'd worked hard late night, come back on the train, I got a pack of buttons. Yeah, I had a family-sized pack of buttons at night. Whatever, right? I like to open it up. And because my hands, you know, I like to be hygienic. I can't use my hands because I don't know if I've been able to clean them. Unless I've been able to clean them just before.
This explains so much. This explains so much.
What are you talking about? Anyway.
I've just... So, all right.
So anyway, I open the bag. I blind the bag. You know, got to whoop it out. So now the bag's covering my mouth. I'm whooping it up. And I'm like, you have to open your mouth wide to go. But it's right, your mouth's inside the bag. And then you're just catching the buttons. You know, it's like a, like I like to use the bucket in a roulette wheel, you know. The bucket gets all the chips, and one guy wins. They put a little dolly down, and they grab all the other chips. That's what I was doing. I was like, not making too much noise, because we're in the UK, mind.
Yeah, if you made that noise while eating them, no wonder she was filming you. And I want to see where that video is.
Very civil. Very civil about it. Anyway, I look up. Some youngster, she's just filmed me, sending it to some friends or whatever on Snapchat. And I think, fair enough, but... I don't want that to happen. And I don't want that to happen, like, as a given. If I was a celebrity, people doing that all the time. But then at school, imagine if you're at school and just people doing that with all their friends all the time, or all the people they don't like.
I can't even imagine. Yeah, no, I think our kids now are really, really tough. Like, they have to be. They have to be. And maybe the one silver lining is that they develop a thick skin, potentially. But... also, I do think it's quite damaging for a lot of people's, like, psyche. Because if you have some, like, epic scandal as a kid, yeah, that's shared between everyone, and the internet is forever.
Yeah, so I think be mindful, and I think kids are, about what can be shared. Mm. And I think also you can always ask someone, look, did you take a photo of me? I'd rather you didn't. You can always ask that in a nice way.
Yeah.
And if they're a decent human being, they'll be like, oh, sorry, for whatever reason. They might have a good reason. Like, I was taking a photo of that fire advice, you know, it's important. I was going to teach about it to the kids. Didn't realize you were in the shot. Sorry, sir. I'll just delete that, and then I'll take it on with you out, you know, to one side, right? But it is tough. I think... if you're on Reddit as well, probably go in with a different username when you first start that. That would be another guideline.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You don't want to go in with your Facebook name for Reddit. They will find you.
Yeah, they will. They have.
They'll come for you. If you say something bad, they will do that, right?
Yeah, it was, because I talk about that in my comedy routine, how I, like, my name was Michelle-Christina as a Redditor, which it is. And yeah, I asked something like for some fly, like some fly, like anyone who had a plane wanted to take me up just for fun. Because I thought, oh, you know, I bet you the pilots are maybe looking for people during the day that are retired and they've taken their wife out a million times and their kids out a million times and they don't appreciate it anymore. And I'm an appreciative person. Like, if someone does something nice to me, I'm a very appreciative person. So if, like, someone gets, like, even if they get a promotion at work or something like that, they will call me just because my reaction will be so, like, positive. And they'd be like, oh my God, I called you before I called my mom because I knew you'd just be, like, so amped for me. And, like, I am.
That's lovely.
I do like when people have success. So, and then, yeah, so I just thought, well, maybe someone will appreciate my company and it can be a win-win. And so I posted in this flying subreddit, you know, and everyone just completely took the piss out of me and were like, I can't believe you're posting here for free lessons. And I was like, really, it's not about that. Oh, you know, you just want to, you know, you're a freeloader, this and that. And then, you know, one person found a YouTube video because my name was Michelle Christine as a Redditor. And they literally posted it in the forum and said how annoying my voice also was. And I was like, bro, that was a low blow for sure. But yeah, so you got to be careful.
We all think your voice is very melodious. I've always said that about you. It's very clear as well. Compared to my nose, it's a bit under the weather.
Well, you do, yeah. You do have a cold right now.
And I've had it since we started this, but it's not going to stop me doing pods. I'm sorry.
And it's now we're almost about to crack the double digits. So we're even though we have a bit more of a nasally Josh, we are flying right through these puppies.
Yeah.
Hopefully getting better.
Good.
Yeah. Hopefully finding interesting topics to speak of.
Yeah.
And feel free to tweet tweet us at Laughing Mountie, which is LOUGHINGMOUNTIE on Twitter or on Instagram. If you have any kind of topics or questions or comments that you have about these podcasts, we would love to hear them.
Yeah, I think it is important that whenever you do have social media, that you go in toe first. Don't jump in, is what I'm saying. And like, there's a lot of privacy options on Facebook, and so there must be on Instagram. But also, don't share anything that you wouldn't want your granny to see. I think that's always a good piece of advice. Yeah, that's another guideline that I'd have.
But, you know, I feel like, you know, the Instagram models would not feel like that's a good idea.
Well, I'm just saying for the kids.
Yeah,
I'm saying for kids. Anyone starting out, you know, that they have the troll thing. Don't use your proper username in Reddit, you know, until you know it. And also, for social media generally, I would say, dip your toe in first. Don't share your whole back catalogue of all your photos, you know, to everyone. Put it on private a bit, you know. Put up the security bit. People got to realise, like, giving the access to the world, to all of your privacy, isn't always the best thing. I know Facebook wants you to do that.
They do.
But, you know.
But the world has gone mad, so we have to be careful.
It's madness, and that's why. The world's mad. It's gone mad.
It's gone completely mad.
Will it ever return?
Yeah. And one of the reasons is that, you know, even people like Trevor Noah experiences, what you tweet about, even if it was 8 years ago, can come back. That almost cost him his job taking over for The Daily Show. Roseanne made a crazy, ludicrous tweet. Then she got fired from her her show, the reboot of her show that was one of the most popular TV shows on any network.
Yeah, I've forgotten what it's called now, but yeah.
I think it was just called Roseanne, right? Wasn't that what it was called?
Yeah, everyone knows that.
Yeah. Thank you so kindly. And so, you know, with the way that the world works now is you are going to be accountable for everything that you say and do right from your the get-go of your online persona. So just be careful.
Be careful. Take precautions. And, you know, you can always mute and block people you don't want in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And limit what you share a lot. You know, we can't really give this advice for the celebrities. That needs to be something. That needs to be something that they need to get involved with. They need to do the same as us, but maybe on a bigger level. Put out guidelines for one another. Like, you know, put a fucking jacket on when you go out. You know.
Sometimes it does happen. Sometimes after some of these crazy like leaks and things like that, in the celebrity world, they will completely delete their Instagram or Twitter. Have you heard about that?
What, Kanye?
Well,
Kanye.
Yeah, Kanye did that. And so, like, sometimes things happen where in their personal lives, and they just go right off of it for a little bit. So there's nothing wrong with taking a bit of a social media break if you feel like, you know, it's getting to be too much. It doesn't have to be forever.
That's true. And breaks from anything are always refreshing, always give you a bit of perspective.
They do.
It's not always easy to initiate, but you should book them in. You should book in breaks from whatever you're doing in life.
Mm.
And even if it's a small one. We did a bit of badminton yesterday, didn't we?
We did.
And you can't hold a phone when you're playing badminton.
No, you can't.
So, you know.
And what was interesting is we tried to get to 20, like back and forth, and then we quickly realized we do not have the skill level to go to 20.
But also the equipment wasn't great.
No,
the equipment. Because you got some skills.
My badminton racket was literally falling apart in my hands. He tried to make me feel guilty like it was expensive. And I was like, there is no way that badminton racket is expensive. 0% chance at badminton. It's literally falling apart in my hands. And I didn't throw it. I didn't like jump on it. I didn't, you know, try to make some crazy badminton thing and like trip over it. Like I literally was just hitting a badminton racket in a backyard of an English freaking countryside. And it fell apart in my arms. So that's not me.
So fortunately, we didn't have our phones on us because we had an escape from that. And she couldn't check the truth of how much it was. But let's just say that taking a break from social media, putting up some good guidelines around it is always good. And with that noise, I'm going to have to say goodbye.
Yes, we are going to have to say goodbye. You know, sometimes you have a little bit of premature jingleation. Whoops.
That was pretty good. What do you think?
She's from there.
He's from here.
Hanging together.
We make quite a pair.
She's left-handed.
He's right-handed.
Surely not to be disbanded. We are the Mighty Mounties.
Until next time.
Stay awesome.